Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Live from the beautiful city of Chicago.
Yes, I'm going.
Back in studio this morning on the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker on what looks to be maybe the best day of the year so far.
Finally.
It's Friday. It's sunny. It's going to be 80 degrees. I mean, come on.
Yesterday was beautiful.
Yeah, but today's going to be better.
Oh, wow. I don't know how.
By the way, zero traffic this morning. Does nobody work on Fridays?
It's Friday. Nobody works on Fridays anymore.
And it's after Memorial Day.
Yep. Most of
us are out. So after Memorial Day, you can wear white and not work on Fridays? Is that the deal?
That's correct.
Did you see my shirt I had on today? I'll have to show you.
What is it?
It has the Tribune Tower on it.
Where'd you get that?
It's a white shirt. I don't know. Steve Bertrand was putting in orders last year before we left the Trib Tower, and I bought one.
It's Why don't you stand up and show yourself
cute.
Off? I like that.
Yeah.
Very, very historic.
It's got the year on the bottom. It says 1925 to 2018.
I guess it's still there, though.
I don't know.
I tell you what, you look out the window here at our former home. The Tribune Tower. They can't tear the front of the building down because that's the historic part.
No, the facade.
But the part we were in, gone. So, from the you know, the 7th floor offices that we had, all the way up the backside, the butt side of the Tribune Tower, it's just gone.
No, there were no gargoyles back there, were there?
No, unless there was something that got lost.
What would you do with a gargoyle that you're tearing down?
I got tons of stuff to do with a gargoyle, dude.
That would cool
I can only
yard.
Imagine, Joe.
Yeah, that'd be cool in your yard.
Yeah.
And supposedly they're putting up a super skinny hotel.
Great.
It has to be super skinny. It's like our old parking lot, right?
It's our old parking lot, but also there's something about blocking the view of the lake from across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Be what would it be? Across Michigan Avenue.
So it can't be super tall,
right? It can be. Well, it can be. Apparently the height's not the problem. It's the width. So you have to be able to have a view of the lake, an unobscured view of the lake in some way, shape, or form. At least that's what I've been told by my building sources.
So there's no king-size beds because they won't fit?
That's a good point. Everybody be the only hotel in town with twin beds.
Yeah.
Nothing but twins.
Robin Laura Petrie Hotel.
It's like one of those tiny houses.
Right, exactly.
Except it's a hotel.
We got a lot to do today, as always, and including Dave and I trying to figure out our separate sleep problems. Dave thinks he's got his done, and he may have given me the cure. Later on, Republican Senate Leader Bill Brady is in town, going to be in studio. We'll see if he is gambling in on weed. You know, that's what happened last weekend. Dean later, live from New York, and self-defense for women at a time in Chicago where you may need it more than ever. All of that coming up. First, let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one. Hey, watch out for my boat. In a near collision similar to that of Caddyshack when Judge Smales had his yacht run into by Rodney Dangerfield's boat last night somewhere in open waters, an American destroyer. Maybe it wasn't a destroyer. I don't know my ships. But helicopters were landing on it and off it and on it and off it, and they're running exercises. And this just in the last hour, the Pentagon's announced this. And a Russian ship nearly crashed into it. I didn't know you could do this. Apparently, the American ship slammed into reverse and got out of the Russian ship's way. Because, you know, the thing about big boats is you can't stop them real quick.
You know, no, that's...
And if you haven't seen Speed 2 or 3, or whatever that one was, or Sandra Bullock's boat ran into a you know, the shore, I think that's generally how you figure these things out. But everybody's okay. But now you got to find out, was there too much vodka? on board the Russian ship, because who's not paying attention?
The problem really is the side mirrors. You can go reverse in a boat, but the lack of side mirrors is the problem.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, if you had the wing mirrors, the side mirrors, and you'd have that little knob where you can adjust them, right?
Why don't they do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. But again, everybody's okay. Next, Trump is canceling English classes, recreational programs, and legal aid for unaccompanied minors staying in federal migrant shelters nationwide, saying the immigration influx at the southern border has created budget pressures. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to make up all the difference in the world. Cancel the English classes, the ability to exercise, and any legal aid that might clear this problem up. Good call, Trump White House. Next. A West Point cadet was killed and nearly two dozen others injured when a military vehicle overturned near a training site yesterday morning. The deadly crash injured 20 other cadets and two soldiers. Spokesman for West Point said Lieutenant General Daryl Williams declined to identify the cadet who died until family members were notified. That was as of a news conference yesterday afternoon, and I don't believe we've had an update on that. Steve, do we have any idea how this happened?
No, it's still under investigation.
They had video of this giant vehicle overturned, but there doesn't seem to be any reason for it to have overturned. You know, it's hard to tell, obviously, from aerial shots, but, you know, whether there was a hill there or something, or I don't know.
And that thing weighed a couple tons, too,
yeah.
That vehicle. It's huge.
Well, it's a driving cockpit kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And then there's in the back plenty of room for plenty of people. So I don't know. And you know, part of it may be that we don't want the bad guys to see our technology. So I don't know, but it's a mystery. Next, a plant that can cause secondary burns is growing near the Chicago River Bridge, according to the Tribune. Wild parsnip. I was in a band called Wild Parsnip.
I remember that.
Wild parsnip was spotted along North Avenue by the Chicago River Bridge just north of Goose Island. Contact with the plant's sap can result in severe chemical burns if the skin is exposed to sunlight. Well, this would probably be dangerous for pets, too, wouldn't it?
You would think so. And I saw this last night, and it looks like a pretty innocent-looking wildflower. It's not something I would look at and say, oh, my gosh, stay away from that. That's wild parsnip.
Yeah. Well, how about this? How about we cut it down and pull it out of the ground?
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Steve, do we know what's happening there?
No, we do not. I didn't see that story, so I'm...
Can we have a wild parsnip investigative reporting team get on this thing?
Sure. If you find me one of those teams, we'll get them going.
Is it pretty, Dave?
It's a yellow flower, but it looks like any kind of yellow wildflower. It doesn't look particularly threatening or dangerous.
But clearly it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's insidious, Steve.
We've got to get this thing
out of here.
Yeah, if it's wild, it's going to be growing rampant, you would think.
Well, there's got to be some of our top plant people.
Parsnip people.
Our parsnip people.
Our parsnippers.
Our top wild parsnip people ought to be on this right now.
Maybe they're the same as the eggplant people.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're probably busy then.
Yeah.
You know, because all the drops that are going on over at Zimmerman's house. Next, Park Forest Police Chief Chris Menino was on patrol with Officer Stuart Walden when Walden spotted a 3-foot-long snake on the road. Stopped to investigate when they stepped out of the car to examine it. It went under the squad car and under the hood. Menino was able to quickly grab the snake behind its head and remove it from the car. He and Walden then released it at a nearby forest preserve. The reason I bring that story up is because if I had been one of those two, I would have been screeching in the corner like a 5-year-old.
I'm right there with you.
Same.
I cannot do snakes.
No, snakes are not on my
list. Snakes don't bother me.
Reptiles don't bother you?
No,
well, you
it's
spend
mice.
A lot of time in the
Rodents
north.
Rodents bother me.
You spend a lot of time in the North Woods.
Yes, I do see them a lot.
Yeah.
The little snakes in the lake.
You took a picture with the snake, too.
The dude did?
Yeah, the police officer.
Why, and by the way, why is it everything on the internet now is a snake picture? I can't go through one day of show prep, and granted, I have to look at a bunch of stuff, but without seeing snake pictures. No, enough. And finally this. Bradley Cooper's single.
Yes!
Hey, easy. You're supposed to go see your boyfriend today.
That is true. Sorry, George.
Uh-oh, does Gaga know?
You know, the internet went nuts. Bradley Cooper and his baby mama, Irina Shayk, supermodel, Russian-born supermodel, they've split up.
Uh-oh.
Just 3 months after his Oscar performance with Lady Gaga.
You think it's been a 3-month-long fight, and now it's led to this?
Yeah, maybe.
He and Bradley Cooper had that lovely cuddle moment after they finished Shallow at the Oscars. The internet went nuts. Everybody said, relax.
He's an actor. She's a singer. It was a very emotional song. They just had a moment. And now 3 months down the road. But Bradley Cooper, you know, he's a swell guy. He seemed like a great guy, but he's not great at relationships. This has been the longest relationship he's been in by far. And
yeah,
you know,
look at him.
I was going to say, if you're Bradley Cooper, commitment may not be your best route. But he has a little, I think it's a daughter, right?
Yeah, he has a daughter. A
little baby girl that hopefully he's a great dad. Better be a great dad. I'll trash him.
And isn't Gaga free right now?
Gaga is single, is right.
Yeah, because she broke up with her ex-fiance, Christian Carino.
Do you think if they got married, he'd change his name to Bradley Gaga? What do you think? What do you think?
It does not sound good.
Mm. I don't think so.
That's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Steve, while you do this, I'm going to call V's boyfriend, George, and tell him what's going on. She's supposed to fly out to L.A. today to see him. And, apparently, Bradley Cooper's in L.A.
That's right.
Oh, man, you can have a big weekend. We need a caller for Lou. Lou's first caller, 312. Lou's not on today? Okay. Is that why it says Lou's off on my rundown chain?
That's just a coincidence. Mm.
If you want to call 312-981-7200, just want to call and say hello.
Where is he?
It could mean that Lou is wearing off for mosquito season. That could be what that means, maybe.
I'll take any cover you can provide.
We could give, like, just best guesses at questions.
Yeah, we could give our tips.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible home advice at 312-981-7200.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
This doesn't make the all-time top 10 for me, but this is a great song. Pride of New Orleans. Died yesterday at 77. Dr. John. Bad beard, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But here's a little bit of that.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but it must have used the wrong car. Hit him in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time.
Isn't it funny how some songs hold up? I don't care how old you are. This is good.
It is.
I've been running, trying to keep hung up in my mind.
Absolute legend. Loved his New Orleans. It said he was driven out of New Orleans by, who was that Kennedy conspiracy nut that Kevin Costner played in the movie Jim, the DA? You remember the guy I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I saw
the movie.
Dr. John, gone at 77. Now try to get that song out of your head all day. It's 6:29. I'm going through this thing now where I sleep for 4 hours, I wake up, and I'm wide awake. And Dave, you and I were talking about this earlier in the week because you were having the same issue. And now you believe you may have found a cure. So what are you doing?
Well, I'm still investigating. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a couple things because I've taken melatonin, and that helps a little bit.
Right.
But I have trouble staying asleep.
Mm-hmm. And same deal, right? 4 hours?
Yeah.
Thereabouts?
Yeah. Just about.
Because it's never used to happen to me where you'd wake up. Because what would happen throughout your entire life? You'd wake up, you'd go to the bathroom or whatever, but you'd wake up and you couldn't wait to close your eyes and get back to sleep. Now I wake up and go, well, let's get started. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
This has been happening to me, too, by the way, over the last couple months.
Guys are thinking too much.
Well, Steve's trying to solve the problems of the world. That's one thing.
Yeah, you're thinking too much.
Yeah. He's got a lot of
responsibility. Well, with a head this size, you know.
So, couple things. A friend suggested, and apparently this is a pretty well-known, I'm finding it's pretty well-known home remedy, which is apple cider vinegar and honey with hot water at bedtime.
You got the recipe?
I do.
All right, what
this
do we
was
need?
What given to me by a friend. It's 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
1 tablespoon of raw organic honey.
Ugh.
Well, but if it'll help you sleep, Mayor,
I guess, yeah.
And then 1/2 a cup of hot water at bedtime.
Okay, and you stir it up and drink it.
Now I haven't tried it yet, but there are a lot of people who swear by this, including a friend that Super Joe and I had lunch with the other day, says it knocks him out and he's sleeps great.
Well, that's natural. Now, what about a supplement?
Okay, so I have been investigating the CBD oil, which is becoming pretty popular.
This is, so people understand, it's a cannabis derivative. Yes. That's nothing to do with the pot you think
it of. Doesn't have the THC in it doesn't get you high. That's right. Not, and it's totally legal, and it's again, it's homeopathic. It's a natural and it's being used, I think, for a lot of things now, but this is one of the things. It supposedly it helps with sleep. My wife got some at a homeopathic store.
Yeah, one of them hippie stores.
Or holistic medicine.
Yeah, it's one of them hippie stores. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what I'm trying now.
And you tried it.
Yeah, and you know what? I slept great.
You want to hear my solution?
Yeah.
Hit myself in the head with a hammer, first of all.
That's not bad.
No, no. Actually,
and then you listen to tapes on Man Cow Show?
Not that show, but another one. But seriously, I have stopped looking at my phone for 2 hours before I go to bed.
Not smart.
And then I also have bought one of those sleep masks so that it's completely dark when I'm sleeping.
I have the complete Batman helmet that I should start wearing.
Is it climate control inside?
All right, well, let's take these under advisement. And, of course, your texts are welcome at 312-981-7200. Jacob, you'd like some bad home advice?
Yeah, I would.
Lou's not available. Does anyone here have bad home advice at the ready? Jacob, do you have a problem in particular, or you just want us to give you one in general?
Well, actually, every year I have weeds all over my yard.
Okay.
I would say, no, that's all we need.
We don't need any more facts.
Yeah.
I would say dig up your entire yard and then shovel it over into your neighbor's yard and just live with the dirt. It's going to be a real conversation piece. Nobody else in the neighborhood's going to be doing this. An entire dirt backyard. Dave, your thoughts.
Are they broadleaf weeds, Jacob?
Yeah, the ones with the really spiky thorns on them.
Mm,
yeah,
fun.
Forget it.
I hate those.
Can't get rid of them.
Got to pull them. Just pull them every day.
I do, but they keep coming back. Last year, I sprayed them with Dawn dish soap and vinegar and Epsom salt, and they didn't come back for like 6 months.
That's crazy. Now you're talking just crazy. You're talking crazy. My idea of digging lawn, it makes total sense. Your idea of carefully pulling them is just crazy. All right, hold on. We're going to give you something because we've done you no good. That's Jacob calling.
I don't know about that.
Bad home advice. And Phil's calling from Australia. Good morning, Phil.
How are you going?
Thank you for listening. First off, where in Australia are you?
Warrnambool, Victoria.
How close are you to a kangaroo right now?
It'd be one out the road, mate. It's probably been hit by a car on the side of the road.
That happens a lot there.
It's plenty of them around.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Have you ever had a roo for a pet, or is that not allowed?
Look, you could. You could go get one, but once they get a bit bigger, they get a bit vicious.
Yeah, they start kicking you and stuff. It's no good.
I had an American over here not long ago, and he kept on telling me how much bigger everything's over there is compared to us. And I was driving along in the car, and he fell asleep. And we actually hit a kangaroo, and he woke up, and he said, "What was that?" I said, "It was a grasshopper, mate."
Well played. Phil, what do you do in Australia?
I'm a painter and decorator. I paint houses.
And interior, exterior, both?
Yeah, both. It's winter here, so it's absolutely freezing. It'd be 10 degrees.
10 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, that's cold for us.
10 degrees Celsius, which is, what, about 75 here, Steve? Is that the conversion? And what do you know about Chicago? Have you spent any time here?
Oh, Chicago. I love the band.
Okay, well, that's all you need. Thank you, man. Hold on. We're going to send you something from here that's really big. Send Phil something really big from here.
10 Celsius is about 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's freezing in Australia.
Send him an Asian carp.
I like the idea that that they're driving along and you hit a kangaroo.
Yeah, is the kangaroo okay, or is it dead, or what?
Well, I don't know, but they are. They're all over there.
Yeah, it's like deer here.
Yeah, exactly.
And they wear boxing gloves.
That's true. We know that, of course. Why?
Because of cartoons.
That's right. Bill Brady standing by in the PPG Paints Green Room. He'll be on with us after the news, which is next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
647.
We continue now. We'll get back to these texts on how to put you to sleep. What? I mean, literally, but you know what I'm talking about. Coming up. Senate Republican leader Bill Brady's here. What are you more into, gambling or weed? Because apparently after last weekend, that's the deal.
You know, I'm into a balanced budget and growing the state's economy.
And? I mean, we got the budget.
Yeah.
All right.
We got the budget. We got a good infrastructure program, I believe. And there's some good things in the budget. Health care for nursing homes, SLEPs, good education funding. And some good things in the budget.
How's the infrastructure piece going to get paid for? Is it just the gas tax? That's not enough, is it?
Well, there's several portions of the infrastructure. There's horizontal and there's the vertical.
What's that mean?
So horizontal would be roads and bridges.
Okay.
You know, we've got a pretty bad situation in this state with our bridges.
Amen.
Having to close some if we don't do something. So the investment, I think, is a great ROI, not only in terms of if we have to tear them down and rebuild them, it costs 10 times more, as opposed to economic development. If we don't have an infrastructure, we can't keep and grow jobs.
What's the vertical
state.
Part of that?
The vertical would be what we would invest in, say, education and hospitals and other things that would be a portion. And the way it was pretty much structured is, when we passed a constitutional amendment, lockboxing road fund money, so...
So you can't spend on anything else.
Exactly.
Seems like a good idea, by the way.
Yes. And we saw a lot of money under Blagojevich and Quinn stripped away from those road projects, which created a problem. And so now that the funds will go in there, the motor fuel funds will go in there, the registration funds will go in there, we can be assured they will be reinvested in that. The other, the vertical, was pretty much funded by the expansion of casino gaming and sports betting.
The betting piece goes into effect when?
I think everything becomes effective as soon as possible, hopefully no later than the first of the year.
Okay. And any concerns about the gambling piece? You think it's going to be regulated enough?
I do. I recused myself from that vote because of an interest I have in a business that has a relationship with a video poker company.
Okay.
But and I recused myself from discussions of that particular piece of it. Gaming has, I think, become an industry. And
no doubt.
And
with the FanDuels and the DraftKings of the world operating sort of like cowboys in the Old West without anybody looking to get a piece of their revenue, tax-wise or other things, why should we be last in line?
Well, people are going to bet on sports one way or another. And regulating it and the state getting its share as opposed to losing out to Indiana and other states and to illegal industries makes sense.
And the leagues are all getting behind it. Dave, the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, and MLB, maybe is the first in here, they're all getting in on the legalized sports betting.
Yeah, and they've formalized relationships with some of the, like, the FanDuels of the world, and this is the kind of the next chapter for them where they always wanted to distance themselves from those.
Yeah. And I think, Senator Bill Brady, what you're saying is, if it's going to happen, why should we sit on the sidelines?
Exactly.
So, the gas tax piece, a lot of people are not pleased about it. How long has it been since we had a gas tax increase?
Well, I think it goes back to maybe, I want to say further than 2009.
I think you're right. I think it's longer than that.
Further than that. You know, what's interesting, if you study when the last time we had the gas tax and you were to adjust that for inflation, it would be almost exactly at the place it's at today.
Okay.
Now, let me say this. It wasn't my idea, and if the Republicans controlled the legislature, there's probably not one piece of legislation that would have passed or a budget the way it did. But we don't have control. We would have preferred, I think, to see other revenue sources used. But given where we are and given the situation we were in, I felt the increase in the motor fuel tax was justifiable, particularly with the lockbox.
The concern, obviously, and I know you're concerned about this as well, are the small businesses, the truckers and the guys like that who, you know, aren't making a bunch of money.
Interestingly, the businesses in the state supported the infrastructure bill.
Hmm.
The trucking industry supported this. They need good roads to transport commerce.
We're willing to make that swap because, you know, replacing an axle that's broken through Pothole City is expensive, too.
Exactly. The hardship will mostly be people who pay for it. And from a business standpoint, gas stations, convenience stores, near border states. It would be a definite hardship there, and we're concerned about that.
I know you recused yourself from it, but do you have any sense of where this new casino or two casinos may go?
Don't.
And how long is that going to take the rest of the year to figure that out, too?
Well, it'll be up to the gaming board. Applications will be taken. The gaming board will have to justify their selection process. I think there will be a push to move as quickly forward as possible. The state needs resources. We still have a backlog of unpaid bills that we have to work on paying down. Mm-hmm. And anything that can be done to bring those resources, bring the business investment to the communities that are going to get it, bring the jobs that come with the construction and the permanent jobs, particularly in the Rockford area, for instance. There's a real situation where the state of Wisconsin has a looming gaming industry that hopefully we'll be able to block and be able to keep that business in Illinois rather than losing it to Wisconsin.
That would be a good thing. When we come back, I want you to answer a mysterious question for me.
Okay.
Because you are a lead Republican in the great state of Illinois. Is that harder than ever? And give Republicans who are listening some reason to believe that they're doing the right thing and that there's hope down the road. Because the idea that Republicans have just given up the state to Democrats, I don't think is a fair assessment of things.
I agree.
Between you and Mr. Durkin and others. So we'll come back with that in a second.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
So we're going to Prague, and I got to get into this later, but they drink heavily there. That's, yeah. I mean, a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm thinking I should take you, Dave.
I can't go. I already told you.
Oh, you already have a commitment.
Yes.
Okay. What are we doing, Joe? You told me and I forgot already. We're back with Bill Brady, Senator Bill Brady. All right, so here's my question. I've never understood why completely the Republican Party has said, well, Democrats run the city of Chicago. That's never going to change. We got some shot at the state house, but, you know, generally speaking, it's a tough road uphill. And I sense like a feeling of defeat to some extent, like we're always going to be in the catch-up position. Why does it have to be that way in Illinois, and why can't the Republicans, over the course of the next generation, build a lasting party of Lincoln effort here?
I think we can. I think Illinois tends to swing. We saw what happened in the last couple elections. Part of the reason is we see governors lose elections, not win elections. So, mm-hmm. for instance, you saw Rod Blagojevich, not Rod Blagojevich.
Whatever happened to him?
Pat Quinn lose the election to Bruce Rauner. You saw Bruce Rauner lose the election to J.B. Pritzker.
Yep.
They didn't win. And so we're in that cycle. I think we've got great hope as I travel around this state. There are things that differentiate us that give us, I think, that strength. I think the biggest issue for us is going to be this tax increase that they're asking the voters to take a decision on constitutionally. We are adamantly against this proposal to eliminate the fair flat tax in Illinois' Constitution. The Democrats want to graduate the tax, which we've seen every state that's done it has done nothing but attack middle-income families. And we are fighting for the middle-income families. I think that's the resurgence of the Republican Party, as we use this issue to be the standard bearer for middle-income families that we know are the strength and the backbone of this state.
So how does that play out in Springfield between you and Mr. Durkin, the House leader? What sort of fight are you able to put up? Because generally speaking, in a political negotiation, okay, you're the party in power, you're going to get this, but what are you going to give me in return?
Well, you know, we got various things in the negotiations, but, you know, as I told people, this year in Springfield was a little like a spaghetti western. You had the good, the bad, and the ugly. Unfortunately, Clint Eastwood, we only had 19 votes in the Senate, and John Colson and Lee Van Cleef had 40 votes. So we had to do what we could to protect our interests in our districts and get some things done.
But I'm told Mr. Pritzker, who, by the way, needs to have the courage to show up and talk to me and talk to others who want to ask him legitimate questions, and why they're not having him come out after the victories he had in Springfield to talk about it is ridiculous. He's a very well-spoken guy. The door is open, Mr. Pritzker, and bring Madigan with you when you come in. Or not. But we'd certainly like to talk to you because we've had an ongoing relationship with every governor in the state. Having said all that, he seems like a reasonable guy. Do you have a sense of optimism in being able to work with the Democrats based on what happened last weekend and going forward?
What we want to make sure is this infrastructure program is fairly spread throughout the state. I've got Governor Pritzker's word that Republican districts will be treated equally and fairly. And I'm going to take him at that word because that's what's important to us. The infrastructure in our districts are treated equally to infrastructure elsewhere. We need to rebuild this state. Infrastructure is part of it. So we can work together on that issue. But where we can't agree is again, going back to what I think is going to be the resurgence of what Republicans stand for and differentiate themselves, and that is defeating this huge middle-income tax increase that the Democrats are trying to get by changing our state's constitution.
I don't understand why it has to be that way when you can set the levels of what those levels are going to be. Why does it have to hurt middle-income folks so much? Because the idea would be it would squeeze people who are making more money, and it would generate some income. It's nonsense to think only rich people are going to make up the debt in the state. That's ridiculous.
That's the point.
But the point being that folks who are doing better would kick in more. It would be fair for everybody. Why does it have to hurt middle-income people?
Because what happens is what Mario Cuomo in New York found is, I thought I could tax the ultra-rich, but I found they could move. And I had to go after middle-income families. That's the
Well, we're losing enough people in this state. We need to keep a few.
Well, the last tax increase that was imposed by the Democrats, we saw a largest exodus of middle-income families that we ever saw. Between the property taxes that we have to fight to resolve, which we didn't accomplish this year, and the income taxes of this state, we're driving people out of the state for pure affordability reasons. They can find jobs in other states. We've got a lot to offer in Illinois. It's time to stop overtaxing people.
Yeah, you drive to, say, St. Louis from here, and you go through some of the smaller towns, you know, in central and southern Illinois, and it's just sad. Sad what's happened. There's nothing left. This is one of my favorite Democrats, the lovely and talented Bridget Gaynor.
Good morning, everybody.
First off, welcome back from the road there.
I know,
friend.
Right. I feel like I've taken my show on the road, and now it's back home.
You want to add anything to this before we excuse Mr. Brady to go do what he needs to do?
No, I mean, look, on the good news front, I'll say as just a citizen separate from my politics, is that I feel like you guys got more done in this session than has happened in a long time. Maybe you don't agree with all of it, but I really appreciated both your comments and Jim Durkin's comments that you felt like you were working together. Maybe you didn't agree on everything, but everyone was at the table, and it's been so frustrating to watch from the outside when it felt like everyone was fighting all the time. So that, I felt, was a really positive step, and the fact that the tax wasn't voted on by the legislature but has to go to the people, I think is incredibly important, because now everybody's going to have a say, and I think that is going to make it... Maybe people won't like it, but you'll have more say to what happens.
Well, look at how you two can get along.
I mean...
Look at this. We got a Democrat and a Republican in the studio. Nobody's punching anybody.
I think Bridget's the most Republican Democrat in the city of Chicago.
Oh, my God. Now you're really ruining my reputation. That's not true.
How about reasonable Democrat? How about that?
Doesn't that mean the same thing?
No, it'd be different. Senator Bill Brady, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, we'll come back with the headlines in a second. And Steve is going to be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right after this.
The Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 7:16. Bridget Gaynor's here. Cook County Board. Who do you represent, by the way? I know you represent everybody because you care about everybody.
I do.
But who's your specific jurisdiction?
So I go up the lakefront. I started around Armitage, Ashland to the lake, go all the way up to
Rogers. It's a nice area.
It is a nice area. But I go all the way up to Rogers Park and then head over on the northwest side, Edgebrook, Sauganash, Peterson Park, Edison Park. Not Edison Park, Jefferson Park. It's a great district.
But a nice Southside girl, do they accept you?
Southside, they do. I mean, begrudgingly. You know, Pat O'Connor, the alderman, used to always say, at least we know you're a little bit smart because you moved up north. So you got that going for you.
You just did something which I think anybody listening who hears what I'm about to describe, you're about to describe, they will say, I've got to do it. You lost your dad this spring, and you and your mom and your daughter just took what amounts to a three generations trip to France.
Yep.
And did your daughter go to Israel as well?
No.
Okay, but you and your mom went back to Israel.
Yeah.
So the three of you, just the three of you on this trip, had to be so cool.
It was awesome. I mean, my mom and my daughter are also very well matched, you know.
Opinionated?
Not strong opinions about things that, like, you're like, okay. And doesn't have to be a lot of knowledge there. Less so my mom, since she's got an enormous amount of life experience. My daughter has strong opinions about things she knows nothing about.
Right.
It's totally certain.
But she can at 15.
Yeah. Right. It's almost like you want to say, you know what?
go off on your way now before any of that changes. But they are, they're easy travelers, super competent. You know, they were alone together for a little bit when I was doing some work, but it was great.
And your mom's in great health.
My mom's,
so she can rock and roll everywhere.
No, my husband used to say, you guys should carry a picture, because I have four sisters. You should carry a picture of your mom around and say, you know, this is what you have to look forward to,
right,
when we were young and dating. Right. But no, she's in great shape. And, you know, so there was some ups and downs and poignant moments, but it was great. And I think, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, there's not a shred of jealousy. I'm just happy you did it. Because, you know, some people listening are going, oh, it sucks, I'm never doing that. No, go do it. And it doesn't have to be to France.
No,
get in a car and go to Piscataway, New Jersey.
Know,
just do whatever you're going to do.
But it's a good motivator. We have a wedding in Ireland this summer in August. And I said to my mom, I'm like, hey, let's take the show on the road again. Let's go.
My mom's turning, it's a milestone birthday later this year. I don't want to say which one it is, but it rhymes with 80. And we're trying to figure out what to do, because she wants to go on a trip. But I'm not sure she wants us to go. I think she just wants to go on her own.
What about a cruise?
What about a cruise?
I don't know.
What about Prague?
What about Prague? You know what? I think she wants pucks for Prague.
You think she'd want to go to Prague?
So my favorite story about 80, my grandma died at 95, you know, totally full mental faculties, living on her own, perfect. But Wheel of Fortune was her favorite show.
Sure.
And so she goes, they had a show at Navy Pier where they were doing the show. So my uncle brings her down and she meets Pat Sajak. And Pat Sajak says, I hear it's your birthday. She was 94. And she said, yes, I'm 94. He said, my mother just turned 80. She goes, oh, to be 80 again.
Love that.
Right?
Oh, that's exactly. Hysterical.
So I got a lot of time now. I feel like that gave me a lot of time to be wistful about my age.
No question. And if you get, a Sajak Jones going, I have his cell phone number so we could call him for you.
You should call your mom and say, hey, it's just the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my mom's great. My mom is...
Are you kidding? I was on with her. She was on the phone on Mother's Day. All I keep thinking about is I don't need to eat dinner. I had a vodka tonic.
Right. She is hilarious.
That kind of girl.
And the audience, frankly, likes her much better than they like me. All right. So you know what happened last weekend. What's the effect of what happened downstate to the rest of us here? I mean, all of it. Casinos, weed, bridges.
It was quite a menu. It was like taxes, infrastructure, abortion, gambling,
pot,
and drugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a trifecta. It was a double trifecta.
Were you struck at all with the lack of buzz that went on? I don't know if it was a beautiful weekend and where there's no expectations that state government will do anything ever. But then Monday morning, you wake up and go,
boom.
Excuse me, what?
What just happened?
Because like 5, 6, 7 huge things happened.
I know. So we'll start the marijuana stuff, you know, as we've talked about before. You know, I have two teenagers, so I'm a little bit torn. I don't really want that easier than not. But, you know, I think the whole point about expungement and decriminalization makes nothing but sense. The gambling, I'm torn. You know, I don't love it because I feel like it kind of takes people at their worst moment. But it all depends on the kind of gambling. A Chicago casino where you're going to build it with construction, you're going to have a union workforce. My sister, as you know, is the organizer with Unite here, and they've worked on the casinos. You can ban problem gamblers. So there's some sort of control. The thing I hate more than anything in the world is video poker. And when they allowed it last 10 years ago.
Do you mean because it's easy access?
Well, you know, you walk into a bar to have a drink and all of these things, you know, this thing is there. And this is what has happened in the 10 years since they passed video poker the last time in the state for a capital bill. They're like, oh, no, this is all about the VFW hall and supporting the mom and pop that are sponsoring the baseball team. Baloney. It ends up being they set up these cafes, they call them Dolly's Cafe and Polly's Cafe.
Right.
There's like a pop machine, a bag of chips, and some girl sitting behind the counter, and a bunch of slot machines. No jobs, no economic development. The massive amount of the money goes back to the guys that own the machines, and then the guys that own the machines who set up these cafes. And even with the bars and restaurants, it ends up being this thing where it isn't mostly food and drink. It ends up, you know, when you're making most of your money on gambling, you focus on gambling.
Is it set up wrong? I mean, does it need
to be? First of all, the state doesn't give enough of a share. They allow too many machines in each location.
Right. No, it would have been better to say, okay, you're going to get this license, but along with this license, you're going to put 6 jobs in place or whatever. Put the
you have to still make 80% of your revenue on non-gambling.
There you go.
Because then it's not mostly gambling.
Right.
And the city of Chicago has a ban on video poker, which means like when I take my kids out for pizza, I don't walk in and see gambling, because every single place that has a liquor license can put these things in there. And I hope they keep that ban. And I know that Mayor Lightfoot has talked about that, and she's focused on the casino. And so leave the video poker out of it. It's low rent, and it, you know, it only preys on people.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a longer discussion than for a different day, but the environment versus genetics, you know, is it being close to gambling that creates the problem, or is it you have a gambling issue and you can't wait to get there? Because the argument would be Vegas exists, Atlantic City exists, the casinos exist, it's free will.
Yeah.
It's free. Everybody's not driving to do that. So if you put a casino near me, am I going to become a gambler, or am I a gambler in general? I don't know.
Look, it's ease and proximity is a big part of it, because, you know, that's who we are as humans. If you're going to build a casino here, you know, it is what it is. I don't think you need to have a mini casino on every single corner with every pizza place and bar.
Yeah. So you like the video poker is what I'm getting from this conversation largely.
Well, this is the other thing. It doesn't go everywhere. In the nice neighborhoods, you won't see it. It goes the same place people play the lottery.
We can come back, do some more of this, but first the MVPP after this.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
What's the best way to create great entrepreneurs as grown-ups? Start when they're teenagers. Candace Cunningham is the founder of As One We Can Foundation. And Candace joins me now. Candace, you're all of what, 30, 31 years old or something?
Yes, I'm 31.
And you're out there teaching entrepreneurial development to teenagers. This is why you're the MVPP. This is why you're valuable in such a big way. Congratulations and thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, so how'd you get into this?
Well, I started the program about 11 years ago, and I was doing after-school programs and summer programs, and it gave me a very limited amount of time to be with the kids. And I noticed how just a short amount of time has such a wonderful impact on them. And I was able to see that, you know, usually the stereotype of kids from disadvantaged communities is that they, you know, they don't have any ambition, they're bad kids, that they don't mean well. And I was able to see that that was not true. With just a little bit of guidance, they were able to do a lot of great things. And I saw that they had a lot of hidden potential that just needed to be tapped into. And I figured if I could help give them the right tools, that we would be able to solve a lot of the problems that were going on in the community.
But you're all about your mindset, your attitude, and the things that are, you know, well, make you tick. How do you teach that?
I teach that, you know, through just real life, hands-on experience. So as things come up through my interaction with them, I use it as a lesson. And I teach them, you know, that it's important to be a great person. It's important to have good character. And I'm always stressing to them that they need to invest in themselves. And by investing in themselves, they need to invest in knowledge and educating themselves and just making sure that they're being a good person.
The students are organizing, planning, designing, with Candace's help, their first in-store pop-up retail event on Delano Court in Chicago South Loop. It's next to the Icon Showplace Theater on Roosevelt. And your attendance for any of the events would be greatly appreciated. There's a launch party on June 27th from 5 to 9. And then the whole retail experience, noon to 6 Friday, 10 to 6 Saturday, 10 to 6 Sunday. You could also help by going to ShopRise.org and see some of the cool online e-tail type stores that have been created, or stuff that's been created, and buy stuff right there, because that helps too. So Candace, you're getting it done.
Yes, I have. Somebody has to do it. It has to start somewhere. I just want to do my part.
Again, shoprise.org. You are the MVPP, Candace. Thank you. Hold on, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's it. 31 years old, Bridget Gaynor.
It's pretty impressive.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah. Good to be 31 again.
Oh, if I was only 31.
Oh, if I was only 31.
If I knew at 31 what I knew now.
What if I didn't know now what I didn't know then? It'd be even better.
There's that. Now, I've got notes here that say you're pressed for time. Okay, you need to leave now.
Soon.
So before you leave now, because we're giving away this trip to Prague here in a few minutes and you can't win. Before you leave.
That's why I'm leaving. It's a protest.
At least give me something on one of the other things that got passed and your thoughts on it. We talked about gambling.
Marijuana, I think that, look, it's the way the country's going, and it's kind of not that different from drinking. And so, you know, the idea that all these people get hung up on it, I think that that was, you know, a long and well-trod path. The biggest thing is to make sure that it doesn't just, people that make the money aren't just a small few that are concentrated, that it really gets out, and a lot of people have the access to share in the wealth, and that the money actually flows back to the state. That's the most important thing to me. On the Reproductive Health Act, Kelly Cassidy, I think, you know, she had an incredibly stellar, you know, she championed both the reproductive health as well as the marijuana legalization. You know, we are in all around the country, it is going absolutely the opposite direction on women's access to reproductive rights and abortion. And
by gaming state house legislatures and controverting a Supreme Court ruling. You want to change the law? Change it fairly and legally.
Right.
Not
so they're,
this
they're,
nonsense.
They're coming up with all these things. I mean, this idea that there's no exception for rape or incest, that there's no protection for a minor. I mean, it is off the charts. And you know, there's one place for a woman to get an abortion in the entire state of Missouri. And, you know, look, I know it's a controversial issue and people have strong feelings about it either way, but you cannot make someone, they have to have a choice about when they become a mother. And this was, I think, really important because the rest of the country is going in the other direction.
And again, it's the law.
It's the law, and it should be the law around the country. And it's a distraction. It's just like when, you know, Bush and those guys put on all that gay marriage votes in 94. It's something to distract people away from the things that, in a lot of ways, they really care about, which is their ability to feed
Clinton.
Their family. And
94, you mean Clinton?
No, when George Bush put...
in Texas?
Kind of forces, no, around the country. They put,
you mean 04 you know, then? Because in 94, George was busy with the Texas Rangers, I think.
The senior, though.
Oh, senior. This is after he left office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it 94? I thought it was 94. Then.
94, that was Clinton's reign.
Right.
Yeah. But so maybe George was hanging around.
Either one of those. So, but it's a way to gin people up, and I don't really think it... most people are concerned about, do they have a job? Are the kids safe? Do they have a good place to go to school? And these things can really foment a lot of division and hate. So.
And we'll leave it on that happy note.
On that cheerful note. So people are looking forward to my return.
It's great to have you back.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
All right. Get out there. Have some fun this weekend.
I will. You too.
And we'll see you next week.
All right.
And report in as needed.
I will.
Yeah, okay. Trip to Prague. Trip to Prague is coming up. Who's this sponsored by, Super Joe? The MVP piece sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done. And we got a quick break. We're coming back with the headlines on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Pucks in Prague. Steve Cochran, European vacation. Without some of the stuff that Chevy Chase and his family went through, I can't guarantee it's all going to be smooth. But we're going to have a great time. We have the finalists standing by, one of whom is going on this trip we're about to give away, which is going to be a fabulous trip to Prague, where the Blackhawks will open the season against the Philadelphia Flyers. We will go around and see fabulous things all over fabulous Prague, like the world's largest castle. You know the largest castle in the world's in Prague?
I know. You're going to take it over.
I am. I'm going to storm the castle and take full control of it. This castle dates back to the 9th century. It has 18 acres of space, much like your summer home.
Very similar. Is there a moat?
There better be at that price.
Turret?
Stunning cathedrals, chapels, royal palaces, gorgeous ornamental. You know how I am, Mary Vandeveld, with the ornamental gardens. You know how much I love that stuff.
Oh, yeah, you love those.
So that's happening. And if you love to booze it up, I'm telling you right now, the people of Prague drink a lot of beer. A lot of beer. Mm-hmm. The locals drink more beer per capita than any other country in the world. Of course, that's the home of Pilsner. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. And just in case you're wondering.
I know that.
Each Pragueite. That's what people of Prague are called, the Pragueites.
Not Pragueans?
No, I thought so, too. Each Pragueite consumes roughly 155 liters of beer a year.
Wow.
Now, let me break that down for you. That's 439 12-ounce cans per year. That's 73 six-packs per person per year.
So that's like...
That's a six-pack and a half a week.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Do they drink wine, too?
Who cares at that point? They're so loaded on beer.
I don't know. But that's some kind of number. So it's a very simple process here. All of you who have qualified, and what, 10, 15 qualifiers? Y'all got these fabulous prize packages. But wouldn't it be great if you, in fact, could go with us to pray? You know what, Joe, Super Joe, you know what this needs? A little Czech music. You got anything for me? A little Czech?
That's what I'm talking about. You can hear the check in this, can't you?
Do they only whistle?
Jedu domů po trati, jedu přes kopce.
Sailing takes me away.
Za okny padá, padá sníž, budou Vánoce.
Joe, you give me a Super Joe. Give me a list of music here. Which cut is this? This is Václav Nekar and you Markart, and this is Půlnoční.
Meaning?
Oh, yeah, Maki. Maki is
it. No.
This is going to be playing on a loop our entire trip.
On the bus.
That's a pretty good song.
I like
this
it.
Up.
That's hallelujah.
Yeah. I'd like to be one of the finalists going, Steve, get on with it. Tell me if I won.
Did I mention?
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Did I mention the finalists are standing by on hold? I have the winner's name right here. Well, let me open the envelope. I said we need smaller envelopes around here. Remember when we had that meeting?
Yes, we did.
This is worse than the Publisher's Clearinghouse. Get on with
Crazy.
It.
Crazy.
Do you want to just hand it to me and I'll open it for you?
It's a big envelope, Dave. I don't know.
Who licked that thing?
By the way, send that to Nick as well.
Really?
I have it. Let's go live now to the winner of the Pucks in Prague trip. Going to go to Europe with me, with my family. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner is Gail Cannata.
Hey. Oh, my God.
Gail, you're going, baby. You're going on a trip.
Oh, my God.
Huh? Pretty exciting.
Oh, my God.
Pretty exciting. Gail, you can help me storm the castle.
Steve, that is going to be such a riot.
It's going to be a blast. Who's going to go with you? Do you have any idea? Are you going to torture
my
people?
My daughter,
somewhere?
Erica Weiss.
Oh, nice. Mom-daughter
oh,
trip.
My God.
That's fantastic. I love to hear that.
Oh, thank you. I never win anything. Thank you, WGN. Thank you, Chicago Blackhawks. You are amazing.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm looking at how much this trip costs. Let me tell you something, dude. That's a good price. This is no chump change. This is a big deal. And you're going to be able to see the Blackhawks open the season. I assume you're a big Hawks fan.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Will Marian Hossa be there?
You know, I bet he will.
I think so.
Oh, I bet he will, too.
I bet he will.
Town.
Yeah, it makes
he
sense.
He can translate the words to the song for us.
Yeah. I thought it was Crisscross Sailing. It wasn't Christopher Cross Sailing? Probably not so much. I'm very excited for you. Congratulations, and to our other finalists standing by. Appreciate you hanging on. Enjoy the prize packages. We'll see you at Hawks Convention. And, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you again. Thank you.
Well, I look forward to meeting you in person, you and your daughter. Hold on, Gail.
Hope Thanks. Gail and Erica drink beer.
They better.
We didn't ask how old Erica was, though.
Gail sounded super young.
Yeah, she did. Sounds like a lot of fun. I want to go.
Well, play your cards right between now and October. We'll see what happens.
What a blast.
Gail Cannata, the big winner of the Pucks in Prague trip. Wait, Steve, is there more?
What?
Is there more?
Wait a minute.
There possibly be more?
You gave the trip away.
Could there be more?
You've given away the prize packages. It's over.
Got a little surprise for you.
It's never over, Dave. It's never over.
How about some polka music?
Got a little surprise for you when we come back.
Surprise.
A little mystery voice there. Stand by. I'm just looking at some of the attractions, in quotes, at Prague. I have to come up with a list of things we don't do. So, hold on, mystery guest. I can't put you on yet. It's top secret.
Okay.
It may have taken a while, but grilling season's finally here. If you spend our extended winter dreaming about cooking over a fire, it's time to head to APT to check out their selection of Weber grills, whether you burn charcoal, propane, or natural gas, or whether you grill in your backyard. That might be a business, right? If you had a business of things not to do wherever you're going. Like a, what was it, Fodor's Guides?
Yeah.
But they're guides on what not to do while you're there.
Well, like, I'm going to Italy in 2 weeks.
Yeah, what not to do
what
while you're in Italy.
What should I not do in Italy?
Yeah, 20 things not to do while you're in Italy.
I think that's a great thing.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to do anything with that idea. I'm just saying it would be a good idea
Someone
if
will,
I did
though.
Anything with it. Apt has a Weber grill for you. They're going to get guaranteed low prices for you, just like they have for all of us that own our Weber grills. We bought it Apt, like me. Free and home delivery on all your Weber grills. Call Apt at 847-544-2284. See them in store today. App pleasing people since 1936.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Zasnie światło, zawrzy oczy, dzień kończy. Nowi zaczyna. Nene chamsy, przedsedneska ujit. Jak miasto usina.
Why possibly will we still be playing Pragian music? Music of the Czech people.
Yeah, we already gave away the trip.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Hochberg's here. Good morning, Mr. Hochberg.
Good morning. I have breaking news.
Okay.
I'm writing a book. I just came up with this idea, 20 things not to do when traveling in certain foreign countries.
It's a great idea.
I've been working on that a long time.
Well, I don't know where you heard of that, but just inspired, in general, came out of nowhere.
Popped into my head a couple of minutes ago.
Nice to see you, as always. I understand that you would like to make an announcement yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to be going on the trip with you and carrying snacks as we storm the castle. So that's the breaking news.
So we're going to be headed for the castle.
Yes.
And as we go to the castle, maybe the drawbridge going over, we'll stop for Cheetos or something? I mean, what are we going to do?
I was going to go for turkey sandwiches. I get a little protein.
What do you consider a snack? A turkey sandwich is lunch.
A 12-inch sub. that's pregame. And then when we get in the castle, I'm sure they'll have some entertainment and some eating and beverage inside the castle.
But well, it's going to be a five-day trip.
It's an 18-acre flipping castle. We need some energy, my friend.
A five-day trip.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be awesome.
We just gave Gail Canada, who's going to bring her daughter, a trip, which is fantastic. Fantastic, and you're going to be going. So I guess that's all the news. Huh?
That's it. Yep. Thanks for playing.
That's everything.
And I've got to head out.
All the news.
Nope. Team Hochberg has breaking news.
What's the news?
We're doing Pucks in Prague Shootout. Very creatively genius name. So for everybody that did not have the opportunity to win the trip that Gail won, we're having another round. I purchased a set of tickets and a trip.
Bonus trip. You get to go with us.
And we're going to have another chance to win a trip starting now.
Right now. All right, now let me throw the details out. You tell me if I'm right about
this. Go ahead.
Team Hochberg giving you another chance to win a five-day trip for two to Prague. So everybody that didn't win, that would be everybody but Gail Canada.
Correct.
You can be a part of this. The package includes sightseeing.
Yep.
Round-trip air from Chicago. The whole program of telling you what not to do will be part
correct.
Of this.
Yes, I'll give a free copy of the book as we board the plane.
A VIP ticket package to see the Hawks open their 2019-2020 season in the Czech Republic. We'll do that on the night of October 4th.
Yep.
And the way you win this is pretty straightforward.
It's pretty easy.
You got to go to a special section of the website, which is
WGNradio/trip.
WGNradio.com/trip. Go there and enter right now.
Right now. The website is up and running. It's free. It takes literally about 60 seconds to register. Again, it's free. The best four-letter word in the English language starts with an F. You could go there, and you have another chance up until you can register. Only one person can register it. You know, there's only one entry per person, so don't go in there and start doing 1,000 entries because they're going
to... What if I came up with a series of fake identities?
That would be a challenge because you would need a passport to get in out of the country.
Tough break.
But you probably wouldn't actually win and just block it for other people.
Don't waste
Sarah's time because she'd be very upset in charge of all of this. And what basically up until 11:59... p.m. on the
Wednesday,
19th of June.
Wednesday, June 19th.
June 19th up until 11:59.
Right.
And then we will announce it. I will come back.
On that Friday.
On that Friday, the 21st. 2 weeks from today to announce the winner of the Team Hochberg Pucks in Prague Shootout.
Now, here's the important part. To enter, you go to WGNradio.com/trip. But the lawyers always make us say this as well.
Go ahead.
All the official rules are there. Now, in the history of broadcasting, there's never been one person that's ever gone and read the official rules. But if you need them, they're there.
Actually, I'm doing the mortgage sweepstakes rule. And somebody called me and said that we had a preposition in the wrong way. And I'm,
that's the only person that's ever read
the, person, like, okay,
the official rules.
Thank you.
Well, this is very generous. It's a very fun thing. It's a nice thing.
It's a great thing. I'm a Blackhawk sponsor. We're negotiating something, finalizing something with a Blackhawks right now.
But this is all final.
This is all done.
This is all this done. Is There's done. No negotiation here.
Done, done, done.
You
website's
just entered.
Up.
Now, it's all going to be online.
It's all online. It's up okay. online right now.
WGNradio.com/trip. Enter today.
Yep.
And one entry per person. And again, we'll come back and do this a week from next Wednesday and pick a winner.
Yeah. Can I plug the Ask David?
All right. Should say that's not true. We'll, 2 weeks from today, we'll announce the winner. Right. 2 weeks from, or a week from next Wednesday is when the contest closes. 11:59. Can you plug something else?
Yes. We started something last night on Patty's show.
Mm-hmm.
Ask David at WGN Radio. It is a safe, private, and confidential email address. What we are trying to do is encourage WGN listeners to submit their questions that they're too embarrassed or too scared to submit about credit, housing, whatever. We had a great show last night, an hour segment, half hour.
Oh, these are people that don't want to talk about the situation.
Don't want to talk about. Okay. We're going to change your name. We'll change where you live. We're not going to get specific on air. Of who you are, and
if you want to use me, if you want to say every problem that you have is Steve Cochran,
yes.
That's fine.
Okay, done.
Yeah.
So we had two callers that were having challenges in their family with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great show. We had a great text. We had five or six text questions. So the segment is designed to help listeners overcome their financial challenges, their credit challenges. If they have questions that they don't even know how to ask, just throw it on there. I'll answer them personally. I'll answer them. And then what we'll do is we'll bring them on air and answer them on your show, Patty's show, Bill and Wendy, John Williams. And if Ro wants to invite me on, it would be nice. I haven't been on his show in about a year and a half, 2-3 years. But that's fine. You know, on anybody's show that I'm on, we'll read the emails to help other listeners with whatever the question is.
All right,
is.
So where do they send them?
Very simple. AskDavid@WGNradio.com.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so there you go. And thank you for the generosity there, Team Hochberg.
I'm looking forward to helping another listener go to Prague with us. It's going to be a great trip.
You sleeping okay?
I got about 4 hours. I left here at midnight, 12:30, got home 1:30.
But when you do you sleep okay?
I sleep about 3-4 hours.
That's what we're talking about. And it seems like everybody our age range is having this problem. A listener's helping out now, 7-6-3-0. I've guaranteed sleep aid. You take 6 shots of your best vodka.
Yeah.
2 handfuls of ice. Put it in a shaker with a touch of vermouth.
Yeah.
Shake thoroughly. Break that up into 5 martini glasses. Drink them all, and you're going to sleep like a baby.
Can that person come to my house every night and make those and put it in and put
it in
my freezer?
You might want to make them the automatic winner.
Yeah. Well,
the trip to Prague.
Congratulations. Yeah, we've just announced. We just selected a winner. Or my traveling companion. One or the other. My wife just got
David
kicked out.
David Hochberg's valet.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Get those entries in by a week from Wednesday. Gives you plenty of time.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks from today, we'll announce a second winner
for
Pucks in Prague.
Yes.
Steve Cochran, European Vacation. Thank you, David.
Thank you for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you for doing that. It's very nice. And we'll come back in just a second for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. Live from the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing in Ruffled Feathers in Lamont. It's a wonderful thing you do with the Jared Payton Foundation. I know your mom's proud. I know your dad will be proud. I know your kids, as they grow up and understand the good work that the foundation does, is going to mean a lot to them.
I got great people that help me with my mission and my vision.
Your mom's coming in. You got anything you want to confess? Or you want to tell me? I can get you off the hook, huh?
No. I pretty much tell her. I tell her everything.
She figured all your nonsense out anyway.
No, my dad figured out.
Well,
my dad knew everything that I was doing. He knew it before I knew what I was going to do.
Right. You know why? Because he did it.
How about being the number one player in Chicago Bears history?
With all the other names, I think that's the reason why he'd be so proud, because you look at the names, Buckus, Sayers, Urlacher, all the guys.
It's original franchise. It's where the NFL started.
It is the best. To me, that's what it's all about. We're a part of the family in the organization. They make us feel like we're a part of the family.
That's Jared Payton. Yesterday, we had a fine time out at his annual Jared Payton Foundation golf outing. So thanks to Jared and Connie and everybody in the foundation. Well, it's Jared and his family. Connie has got her own foundation. She's very proud of Jared.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to see her, too. She looks fabulous.
She does. Did we hear how it went for Ro and Kevin and Lauren?
I think they're still out there.
That's what I was wondering.
Who could blame them? Dean Richards has already started his Big Shot Celebrity interviews. They got started a little early, so he will not be able to join us. Wah. For moron entertainment. So, you know, as disturbing as that is, we're going to press forward here and get you some entertainment and show business news. Super Joe, if you would look up the new breaking movies of the weekend, and you can give me a review of those movies you haven't seen and have no intention of seeing as a part of this abbreviated edition of moron entertainment. Of course, the big story of the morning. I don't know how you could argue this. It's the fact that Bradley Cooper's single again.
Right? So great.
Yeah. You're very excited because you're going to L.A. today.
I am.
How long do you figure before the two of you are together and announced as a couple?
5 hours.
5 hours?
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad. So your flight leaves at 3 by 8 o'clock Chicago time. It'll be all over. Bradley Cooper and Irina Shayk have split up. I don't know how amicable it is, but he's 44. She's 33, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little girl together. So, you know, you would hope they'd be able to work things out. But for now, Bradley Cooper's available. Hello, ladies.
Great news.
So, now, were you a Bradley Cooper fan the whole time?
I am, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been a fan of Bradley Cooper. He's great.
What do you like most? His acting?
His acting is great, but he's, you know, very pleasing to look at.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, I forget it might be the case. I don't know if I can speak for Dave on this, but our eyes are up here.
Yeah, I'm just, that just sounds so shallow, man. Dave. I'm surprised.
I'm sorry.
Good job, Dave.
Come on, guys.
Nobody even picked it up.
See what he did there, shallow?
Yeah.
So shallow.
Oh, Dave did it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I did not.
Well, you're so worried about your own relationship because your boyfriend, George, is minding his own business in Los Angeles driving to work this morning, hearing you talk about Bradley Cooper like it's over with George.
I'm sorry, George. I should probably call him.
But you did tell me that Bradley Cooper would be on your list.
Hall pass.
Your hall pass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He would be.
Bradley Cooper's so good looking, he's on my list.
Okay.
Could there be a Friends reunion? That's also out there today. I don't know what you do with the Friends this far down the road. Right? Wasn't it 2004 that it ended?
Jennifer Aniston wants it.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston wants it.
She's pushing for it.
And the other Friends say they may be in as well.
Wasn't the series finale they were all abducted by aliens and flown on?
I don't think so. They, you remember Ross and Rachel were going to stay in the city. Monica and Chandler were moving to a house in the suburbs to raise their twins. And Joey and Phoebe would be, we don't know where. And they're all available, so there may be a reunion. But you tack 15, it's literally 15 years later. You tack 15 years on that. Ross and Rachel are divorced, I assume. Chandler and Monica are barely speaking to each other, and they have to go to uncomfortable neighborhood barbecues. And Joey is in prison, and Phoebe is still playing her weird music.
And Phoebe's probably raising the twins after the divorce. Smelly maybe
cat, so. Of those actors,
mm-hmm.
Joey now, today, probably looks the least like he did back then, right?
He's aged a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Chandler looks really like
Matthew Perry.
Chandler's pretty rough.
Yeah, Chandler is pretty rough.
The girls all look pretty good.
They do.
Schwimmer looks pretty normal.
Courtney's had a lot of work.
Yeah, but she's come around to the other side.
Yeah.
She apparently had a touch-up on the work that went bad. She looks great again. And if I could just tell you, as a woman, you don't need to do that. I mean, you know, do it for you, but you don't need to do that.
A little Botox is fine, but come on.
Those are the main stories. Joe, unless you found movies, did you find any movies opening this weekend, Super Joe?
I sure did.
What's opening?
Let's see. We got Dark Phoenix, which is another in the series of the X-Men movies.
You care about that at all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to see that?
Some point, sure. Yeah, okay. I'm definitely going to see that at some point.
All right. What else?
Maybe not this weekend.
Okay, what else?
Or next weekend.
It's too nice. The weather's too nice now. Nobody wants to go to the movies. That's why they're bringing out these crappy ones, like The Secret Life of Pets 2.
Yeah.
Yo.
Oh, boy.
Who's doing this?
Sorry. That's a good point.
Sorry. Right.
What else?
So we got The Secret Life of Pets 2, which is the sequel to The Secret Life of Pets. Which
Thanks,
means,
Joe.
Mary, come on.
That's so funny.
All right, so this is the sequel, which means it's the second one, and it'll probably not be as good.
So like Caddyshack 2 or any other 2 with the exception of Godfather 2, all the sequels
and Ninja
are
Turtles
not
2,
as good.
Which was really good. Secret of the Ooze was really good.
Okay. So you can't recommend that. You are
Batman
recommending
Returns was pretty good.
You are recommending the first one. What was it called again?
Dark Phoenix.
That's with Sophie Turner.
Yes. And you can't recommend a second one, but what about a third one? You got a third movie?
It doesn't look like these are full, you know, every single movie theater in the country releases. But I would say The Gangster, the Cop, and the Devil looks pretty good just by title alone.
The Gangster, the Cop, and the Devil. Do we know who's in it?
Don't know.
We don't even need to know, do we, with that title?
Why would we? No.
No, it's fine. You've been listening to Super Joe Special Movie Edition of the, you know, the Moron Entertainment segment. Okay, so now that you've blown up your relationship, can we return to the show?
Yes.
Okay. We're back with more in a moment, sponsored by Ravinia. The Steve Cochran Show continues on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Couple of texters chiming in. Please tell Dave to have as much gelato as he possibly can in Italy. It's an absolute must.
Okay, that's a recurring theme I'm hearing from a lot of people.
To have the gelato?
Yes.
Okay. They also want to know if it's the separate texture. Is it illegal to eat at famous Italian places like the Spanish Steps? I like to take my pants off and get into Trevi Fountain and just have lunch right there just while I'm standing in the fountain.
Yeah.
People pelting me with coins.
That sounds like something that should be on the do not list.
Pelting me with coins while I eat a sandwich in the Trevi Fountain?
Yeah, and also getting in the fountain without your pants.
May not be a good idea. Yeah. Meanwhile, for those of us going to Prague, the crown, the Czech crown, is worth about a nickel in American money. So let's say I was spending $100 on dinner, or could you get a hotel room for $100? I don't know. I mean, that would be 2,000 crowns. How thick is my wallet going to be?
Wow.
Or, yeah. Once you convert it.
Or are they coins?
So, no, they're actual crowns.
Oh.
They're the size of crowns.
Wow.
That's what makes it really difficult. You got to carry them all around. It's amazing you can get anything done. In case you missed it, we gave away the Pucks in Prague trip. Very exciting. And the winner is...
Gail
Canada. Congratulations, but you have another chance to win once and for all. This is online only. Go to WGNradio.com/trip to enter today. That's WGNradio.com/trip. You got about 10 days to do this. It's courtesy of Team Hochberg and David Hochberg. I think this is the only way we'd let him go on the trip is if he actually bought another trip. No. It's 8:30. We'll come back to your headlines next on 720 WGN.
But the 1-0, swinging a long one to right. Tag, bag, slam. Sox lead 8-3. I wish we could turn on the fireworks. We're indoors.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
White Sox, White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White.
Charlie Tilson hit the grand slam. It's one of the best stories for this White Sox season, and as far as I'm concerned, going forward. Local kid, and... you know, it's got to be nothing but fun for him to be playing at this level.
Yep, now to Neutra High School, and right. He's been a guy who has overcome some injuries. In fact, an injury in his first game with the White Sox, and basically missed last year, and he's come back and been a nice addition.
No question about it. So, Dave and I, in talking to him, Dave, I think the obvious question has got to be, what's it like? Got to be great. Playing in front of your hometown.
It makes it fun to play at home. I feel like, you know, every time I'm out there, I see a different face in the stands, and definitely exciting.
Charlie, how tough was it for you to kind of stay cool after you hit your first big league home run, and it's a slam on top of that?
That was tough, yeah.
No, don't be modest. It was a cool moment. Yeah. You loved it.
I mean, you're trying to act like you've been there before.
Yeah, without a doubt. I couldn't have asked for a better moment to have that happen. I've been getting a lot of fastballs that whole series, and that at bat especially, I just wanted to be aggressive. And I knew it right off the bat that it was gone and a big point in the game. So I was just looking forward to getting back in the dugout and celebrating with my teammates, to be honest. It was a special moment.
They give you a hard time at all?
Yeah, they were excited. I heard about it for the next few days, and, you know, one of those things you'll never forget.
You know, I've heard you're a pretty good football player, and it wasn't that long ago. Did you have to decide at one point to go baseball, or were you thinking maybe football?
I always pretty much had my head set on baseball, but, you know, I joke around that after I'm done playing, I might go try and return kicks at a college somewhere.
Why not? Why not? You got some eligibility, please.
I do have eligibility left, but yeah, I loved football growing up. I was slot receiver and a special teams guy, and I always knew that my future wasn't baseball, though. I mean, I loved it, and I felt like I definitely had the biggest upside.
All right, you know, there's tons of lists every single day online, as you know, and I figure we need to get for the fan club 5 things that people don't know about Charlie Tilson. What's your favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show? Probably The Simpsons.
Okay, so you like the intellectual stuff. Good, good, good. Pizza thin or deep dish?
Definitely deep dish pizza.
Really? I had you measured out, and I thought you were a thin guy. Junk food that you love.
Sweet. I love sweets.
Chocolate?
Cookies. Yeah, chocolate chip cookies.
Can you imagine? What's your playing weight right now?
About 190 pounds.
Can you imagine if he starts tearing it up? He's going to be 360 by the end of the year. And nobody's going to get in your way. Video games, are you good, and what do you play?
I'm not much of a gamer. However, I'll play NHL or Madden sports games. I'm not like a big Fortnite, you know, Call of Duty guy or anything like that.
All right, and with the NHL, I assume you only play Blackhawks?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, good man. Good man. And what's the coolest perk about being a big leaguer? Because we know you get the amazing spreads after the game. Obviously, a guy taking care of your laundry is pretty good. That's not your mom. So what's the coolest thing about being a big leaguer?
Wow, that's a tough question.
Talking perks here, stuff that you get because you're on the team.
Yeah, I think, you know, just being able to step out on the field and having kids praise you at all times, I think that's a pretty special thing about being a big leaguer. I mean, you can't beat it, and it's one of those things I want to hurry up and get out to the field and stretch every day just because, you know, you got your own little fan club that a lot of times they don't know whether you had a good game last night or a bad game, and, you know, they're just there to support you, and I think that's what it's all about.
And we're never gonna hear Charlie Tilson turn down a kid for an autograph, right?
No, never. That's never. Problem. I think, those are the little things about the game and about the job that, you know, you never get sick of.
Ernie Banks told me once, and I love this, and it certainly wasn't the first time he said it or the last. He said, when I went out to play, it wasn't just about, it's a beautiful day, let's play too. He said, when I went out to play, there was always somebody in the stand. It was the only game they're ever going to see. Certainly the only game they're ever going to see that season, but the only game they're ever going to see. They deserve 110% for me, and I thought that was a great take on how to play the game.
I love it. I've heard that too, and I think, I mean, you know, little things like that, they push you every single day, and it's a long season, so I enjoy that.
All right, last question. I know you're not making the big star diva money yet, but you're doing just fine. What have you bought for yourself that you couldn't afford before?
I got a dog this off season that I've wanted for a long time, and you know, it may sound like not the most expensive thing, but I will say over time, keeping them fed, keeping them happy,
sure.
Having to travel a lot, dogs are an expensive habit. So
yeah, in instant family. What kind of dog?
It's a Malinois Shepherd, similar to German Shepherd, but a little thinner, big dog, a lot of energy, super excited.
Yeah, keeps you in shape running around. What's the dog's name?
Gus. We call him Gus the Bus. He's the name pretty much describes him. So
why Gus?
I just felt like, you know, it fit.
He looked like a Gus. Why have I got to ask questions? He looked like a Gus. It's as simple as that. Last question. Coming up as a baseball fan, not just the White Sox, you're playing against guys I'm sure you were a fan of. Who's the coolest guy you've met so far in the big leagues? And you don't have to say a member of the White Sox. Could be anybody.
You know, last year when we faced Bartolo Colon, that was a pretty cool moment for sure.
You know what's funny about that? You're the only one that has ever answered that question, Bartolo Colon.
I just felt like, I mean, that it took me back so long.
I remember
being a kid watching him pitch against the Sox in Indians uniform. But, I mean, there's been so many more. I mean, you said not to mention White Sox, but being able to meet Frank Thomas in the clubhouse.
Sure.
It's like, I remember I was standing with Daniel Palka, and when we were all laughing at Palka because he met Frank Thomas, and it was like the most starstruck we've ever seen him in his life. And that was his hero growing up. So
that's, you know, pretty funny.
Pretty special to have a guy like that in your own clubhouse.
Hey, it's good talking to you, Charlie. We're really thrilled for your success. Keep rolling with it. And Bennett Wake Knight, is the producer of the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. Anything you want to tell us about him?
Great guy. I've known him since, you know, elementary school. I used to ride the same bus to school, and you know, I'd love to see him on the south side. I know he is a north side fan. But
if he wants to be your friend, he'll show up.
Yeah, we always got room on the bandwagon, so you guys can let them know.
Will do. Hey, congrats again, Charlie. Thanks for doing this.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, obviously, he's a jerk. Yes. What a good kid, huh?
Yeah, really good kid.
Yeah. That's why I started the Charlie Tilson fan club. Well, Charlie was starting, obviously, the Bartolo Colon fan club.
That was
We didn't see that coming.
It's not what you expect.
No, we didn't see that coming.
I have a Bartolo Colon bobblehead.
Would you be in the Bartolo Colon fan club?
If Charlie would let me, yep.
Would you wear Bartolo Colon?
I see what you did there.
The new scent from Bartolo Colon.
Absolutely.
Bartolo Colon. It's 8:48. Steve Cochran Show continues in a second. All right, now here's an odd observation possibly, but the monitors we have here in the studio, we've got all the networks up and obviously Channel 9 and CLTV. And the Jonas Brothers are performing this morning on the Today Show. And, you know, I like Sucker, number one song.
Good song.
It's a good song.
And Cool is a good song off the same album. But I've always been struck by this, and I think more so now than ever. The Jonas Brothers are all married. One of them has children. They're grown-ups. They're grown men now.
Yeah, they're like 40 years old.
Yet they still, to me, look as good as they are. They're very musically talented. I mean, this is not a hack band. This is not, you know, just dudes singing to tracks. These guys can play and sing. But they look like uncomfortable white guys. They look like, there's nothing cool about them. They look like an uncomfortable garage band. I don't care how many leather jackets you put on and how many pairs of sunglasses. You either look cool or you don't. And
why?
I get that they're cute. Right?
They're good looking. It's a good looking
But
group.
They don't have a cool band guy vibe. They just don't.
Let's go to the shallowest person in the studio and find out.
Yeah.
No, I disagree, Steve.
Well,
of course
you disagree.
I disagree. I think they look really cool.
Yeah.
Get it? Cool?
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Did you really know those songs or did somebody tell you those songs?
No, I do know the songs. You gotta remember, dude, I was a disc jockey for 10 years.
I knew the one. Sucker, I know. I don't know the other one.
Sucker and Cool, they did both of those on SNL.
Yeah.
I haven't bought the album. That's where I saw them play. But every time I see them in clips and stuff, I go, come on, man. Why don't you look cool? They don't look cool. They look like three guys whose dads bought them guitars and they
Come
won
on,
a contest.
Steve, stop hating.
But it seems to be
it's an observation. I'm not hating them.
Yeah, it seems to be working okay for them.
Yeah, one of them married Priyanka Chopra. Mm-hmm. One of them married
Sophie Turner. Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner. Mm-hmm. And the other one's got a fabulous wife and a couple of kids.
And they have thousands of people mobbing Rockefeller Center to watch
and
him perform.
Millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
And their tour's the happiness tour.
I don't know, Steve, you sound a little jealous to me.
No, I'm not jealous at all. I'm happy for everyone's success. It's 8:50. Let's come back in a few moments. By the way, Steve, this jobs report, surprisingly low.
Yes, absolutely surprising. We were expecting 180,000 to 190,000, and it was 75,000. And the more important part of the story is the revisions for the last 2 months. So for March and April, each month for about 35,000 jobs for a total of about 75,000. So a sharp decline in hiring over the last 3 months.
Will this spur an interest rate cut, or are we not that far down the road?
Good question. I think what it may do is force the Fed to say, let's wait another month to see what the data from this month shows. But, you know, people have priced, the investors are pricing in that lower interest rate, not only in June, but in September as well. So we'll see. Maybe you know it's obvious. I'm a sucker for you. Say the word and I'll go anywhere blindly. I'm a sucker for you. Yeah. Any road you take, you know that you'll find me. I'm a sucker for you. Just a home run pop music hit. So I got a texter saying the same thing. Goes, Steve, 100%. I could put my finger on it, but you're right. They're not cool. The Jonas Brothers aren't cool.
Yes, they are.
They can sing a song called Cool. Well, that'll make it cool.
They look
different.
It's
just a rock star kind of cool vibe thing that goes on. They don't have it. By the way, there's other music news going on. And this ties back into sports, David.
Yeah.
Beyonce is sitting next to Jay-Z. And there's a little history there because, you know, Jay-Z did a dumb thing a few years ago. Beyonce decided to work it out for the sake of the kids. They seem to be pretty happy together. They're watching the game. And the Golden State Warriors, one of the owners, has a hot wife who is leaning across Beyonce to talk to Jay-Z. Didn't go well.
Wrong move.
She gave her the ice stare, the bay stare. And now her fans have come out. This is not good. Death threats for the woman.
That's terrible.
Think that's a slight overreaction to the situation?
I mean, we don't...
Just a little?
We don't know what they were talking about, though. I mean, it could have just been like, hey, how are you? You know, good to see you again. Maybe they know each other. Who knows?
And don't you think Beyonce could handle herself?
Yes.
So you don't need to be threatening people.
Don't you think they're kind of mismatched anyway? I mean, Jay-Z is not the most attractive.
I agree.
Beyonce is just gorgeous.
Yeah, but it's because your team gives... Thank God your team doesn't get wrapped up in how guys look. Good God.
Not at all.
How many beautiful women have you seen with guys that look like, you know...
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not all about looks either. Maybe they connected on a deep level.
I don't know. It's just always been strange to me.
Yeah, and I like rap and I like hip hop, but Jay-Z ain't getting it done for me.
Does Drake?
Beyonce? Now, Dave, the other story, off-court story from this series, is this minority owner in the Golden State Warriors getting in a shoving match with one of the Toronto Raptors. And by that, I mean he shoved the Toronto Raptor, and he's been banned for a full year.
One year, fined.
Can't go to an NBA game.
No. And it was the league. It wasn't the team. It was the league. The team issued a statement sort of distancing themselves. But
if you've ever been to an NBA game, you've seen this. The people, the big money people that sit courtside, you have to be aware that at some point a giant NBA athlete could end up flopped in your lap.
Right. And that's what happened.
Right. He was saving a ball. He ended up backwards in the, was it in the lap of this guy or was he next
to him?
No, he was
next to him. He landed on the guy next to Mark Stevens, who's the
owner,
member of the board, and an investor. I don't know to what extent he is an investor. And then he just reaches over and gave him a shove. I mean, it was...
Like a shove back on the court?
No,
like, get out of here?
It wasn't. It was like, get out of my face kind of shove. Or get out of my lap. I mean, we sort of sprawled over
who's the Raptor?
Two of them. Kyle Lowry.
And Kyle Lowry said, you threw out a slur, too. We don't know what he said, but threw out a slur as well. And it's Kyle Lowry. He could have made this dramatically worse. These are big, strong, maybe the best conditioned athletes in the world. Yeah, pushing them is not a good idea.
No.
But that could have turned into something really ugly, because if they start swinging, the entire team's going to be over there.
For one thing, I give Lowry a lot of credit.
Ton of credit. He backed off.
Because I think there are a lot of players who would have reacted, you shove me, and, you know, there's
I remember
be,
a few years ago in Detroit when guys went into the stands.
Well, it's Detroit, the Pacers and Pistons. That got really ugly.
It was Ron... Artest.
Not Ron Artest. Yeah. So, you know, this was one of those where... They have to look at the way they have fans seated literally inches from the sideline. But it's a huge revenue source.
Huge revenue deal, and you're literally almost on the court. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there are spots, depending on the arena, where if you stretch your legs out, your feet are on the court. Your feet are in bounds.
Yeah. So, anyway, this guy is banned for a year, fined $500,000. Lowry has said they should kick him out altogether.
Right.
So I don't disagree with that.
It's 9 o'clock. We'll come back from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and the CLTV Hour next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
You know, growing up in the 70s, we had a lot of terrible music that we thought was cool at the time. This would be one of them. Whatever happened to Carl Douglas? Isn't it Carl Douglas? It's amazing the stuff that sticks to your brain.
I think he was a one-hit wonder.
Right.
I mean, what else did he have?
He's running a martial arts facility. Later on this hour, we're going to talk some self-defense with Toriante Tolliver from Mind Body Defense, because as a woman, you need to know how to take care of yourself if you find yourself in a dangerous situation. And we're going to put Toriante on the spot to do that quickly. Right now, Dr. Gertrude Lyons is here. You know, Dr. Lyons, we have a lot of preconceived notions about what a mother is.
Absolutely.
And not all of them are healthy.
Nope.
But sometimes moms are their own worst enemy. So let's start with guilt. Moms and guilt. You don't have to be perfect.
Nope.
And you don't have to do everything. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. Thank you.
Well, how come you guys don't know that?
Well,
because we put that on you, don't we?
Well, it's not a we. We put it on ourselves.
Ah, okay.
Culture puts us on it.
it puts it on us, our families. There's so many paradigms right now in our culture about how to do mothering the right way. There's like 60,000 books on how to parent or how to mother. That's a lot of people trying to tell you what to do. So it's a no-win situation if you're going to go that route. So we want to look at how does a woman make those choices for herself? How can she go inside and really discern what's right for her?
So it's all customized, family to family, woman to woman.
Woman to woman. Precisely, it's the woman to woman and family to family, if you know, with your husband, with your spouse or partner, if it's about raising a child.
Whatever your situation is. Mm-hmm. You're going to do a half-day workshop about this coming up.
Yeah.
And we were talking off the air about counseling services and things like that. I'm a firm believer in counseling. I have been for a very long time. I used to be one of these people who thought, you got to be nuts to go to a counselor. And then I went. And I think it ought to be mandatory. It's a health club for your head and your heart. And you ought to be going all the time to make sure it's okay. When I say preventive counseling, I mean it's perfectly okay, as you apparently did at the beginning of your relationship with your husband, to go out and say, okay, let's bring our expectations into the room. Let's talk about this and let's figure out our marriage before we get married.
I did. You know, I'm so grateful for the advice I got when I got engaged. It was my boss at the time, and he said, best advice I can give you is to do premarital counseling. I was 23.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Right.
I don't even understand.
I love him. I don't need a counsel.
Exactly. It looks like perfect ahead of,
right.
A mm-hmm. perfect road ahead of us, but something just clicked inside when I thought about my family and his family and things that I already could see weren't going well there, communication problems we already had at the beginning. I'm like, this might not be a bad idea. And it turned out to be something that I'm forever grateful for, that initial advice, because 30 years later, we have a still growing and thriving relationship.
Well, that's wonderful. And I would think that's healthy. That sort of healthiness helps you be a better mother as well.
Exactly. Because if you have a strong partnership, and one of the things that we were advised after, you know, kicking off our marriage was, now you really need to work on yourself. So that's a lot of what I share with mothers, is the more you can discern for yourself, know your internal workings, then you can make choices that are right for you, but you can also make decisions about your mothering and make the choices. Do I want to be a mother of children or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're weird.
By the way, it's okay if you don't.
It's totally okay, because
right.
We are all mothers. All women are mothers. We mother, we care, we nurture for ideas, our careers, relationships. Everything that comes into our foreground is something we can mother.
You write about talk about the 14 myths of motherhood. Give me a couple.
So one of them is, and you actually mentioned it, is that if you do decide to have a child, you have to turn your whole life. A woman has to turn her whole life over to that child. That's a myth, and it's something that doesn't work for the mother or the child.
It's ultimately destructive, right?
It's ultimately destructive because she loses herself. She's lost a sense of herself and the possibility of her growing and still developing herself. And then the child gets, you know, way too much of what that mother thinks that child should be.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes the child becomes a project for her and something that she can carve out and build versus just provide a loving environment for,
and that
while
because,
she's growing herself.
And that damage goes on for years, because at some point that child's going to develop into their own person, hopefully.
Right.
And it's going to be heartbreaking, because it's, how could you do this to me? Grow up and be your own person.
That's exactly right.
Right.
If we really do mothering of children the way I think it's intended to be, you do pour out love, you do give a lot of time and attention as you're developing yourself, and you do it so that individual can be an independent being,
mm-hmm.
and go off and leave you. So it is kind of heartbreaking that you're doing something so fully and at the same time being willing to just totally let it go.
I just had a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Doesn't a lot of that, you know, centering on one child in today's times, because people do have less children now, so a lot of hovering is done to each particular child, where, you know, when I was growing up, you know, my mom had a huge family and she loved us all dearly.
She didn't have time to hover.
She didn't have time to hover. So that has changed so much, hasn't it?
It really has. Yeah, the whole makeup of families has changed. You know, one of the reasons there's all these books and experts out there is because we don't have these extended families. We're not seeing a lot of ways that and different ways that we can mother, and then we have just this one child to focus all our attention on, and that there's just no way that child needs all of our attention.
Give me another myth.
Okay. Another myth is it's not okay to have your feelings around your child. It's first of all, it's not okay to have feelings in general, but that it could be damaging to your child to have.
So, in other words, I had a bad day at work. I'm a little pissed off at the world right now. It's okay for me to be upset.
Yeah, and it's okay to responsibly share your feeling. You know, share like, oh, I felt angry today about this situation that happened, or I felt really hurt by something. And if you're sharing yourself genuinely and having responsible, genuine feelings, you're teaching your child that it's okay to have emotions. Because in our life today, emotions are the conduit for us to make good decisions. And that's a myth that we believe that having our emotions is something that's going to cut us off from ourselves, or we can't function with them.
Mary Vandeveld, you, I think, had a pretty healthy household with your parents. Old school, but strict, but a big family, and everybody had their own thing. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but
definitely.
In my world, with just my brother and I, that wasn't modeled that way. What was modeled that way is, you know those feelings you're having right now? You tamp those down. You push those down where they belong. Push them down inside. You know what I mean? Because,
Absolutely.
You know, and also, your problems are nobody else's problems. Don't be bringing those out to the world. You know, see,
keep it yourself, right?
Yeah, consequently, you don't depend on friends. Right. You don't feel like opening up. And as a mom, I would think that would be devastating.
It is. And, you know, the child isn't our outlet for our feelings. It is okay to have them around them, but we need places that we can go and get ourselves expressed. We need that. They're a natural physiological part of ourselves. If we think we have to dampen them and keep them down, they are just going to burst out. And then they can burst out irrationally, and we can put them on our child in a way that isn't healthy.
312-981-7200. You can text, you can call, we'll get you in with a couple of questions. And Dave, when we come back, because shocking information, but Dave and I, we can't mother children. Dave and I will never be mothers.
Nope.
Well, we should talk about that.
What?
Because you can't, you're mothering your job.
Hey, easy. You have a half-day workshop coming up next Saturday from 10 to 2, literally at a private women's club where the location will be given to you when you register. That's simply for reasons that probably should be obvious to folks, but you want this to be an important private experience for the women involved.
Yeah, we want it to be a safe place for women to come and have these conversations, because what I've found in my coaching and when I do these workshops is women are so relieved. Like, I can't talk about this anywhere. I can't talk about everything that I'm up against, either deciding to be a mother of children or all that it entails to mother. So we look at the myths, and we really come away with a vision and an action plan on how to take it into our lives.
So Mary Vandeveld, Viv will come at this from, you know, somebody that's going to be married someday who needs to have you figure all that out for her right now while
Absolutely.
You're on the show in the next segment.
Yep.
But if people want to get in on this, what do they do?
They can go to my website, www.drgertrudelyons.com, and that's D-R, mm-hmm. gertrudelyons.com.
Mm-hmm. And you can get tickets at event.bright. It's a long code.
It's
we'll go ahead
code.
And put that. We'll put the URL up for people so they
that
can just
great.
Pull it off any of our social medias as well. All right, more in a second.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
My daughter texted me and said there's a fourth Jonas brother. Was it Harpo? Zeppo? What's his name?
He is a Jonas brother. He's the youngest Jonas brother.
He's not in the band.
He's not in the band, though.
Is he a musician?
He plays music, but he's not in the band.
Yeah. Is he cooler than the others?
You might think so, because you obviously don't think that the other three brothers are cool.
Well, he's not cool rock stars. I like the music. They're not cool rock stars.
Does he have good hair?
He does.
He
does.
Good hair.
Well, that's not something I don't know anything about, as you know.
Oh, sorry.
Can you guys give me another water before I choke to death there, Michael, if you would? Another bottle of water, thanks. Dr. Gertrude Lyons is here. Mary Vandeveld, what else would you like to know?
I think I'm looking at mothers today, and I think they're healthier in a way because they're more physically active than mothers in the past, but they seem to be more stressed out. Why is that? I mean, I know so many young mothers on meds. You know, what do you think about that, doctor? What is the...
That's such a good question, because I think women are... They're hearing, oh, it's important. I do need to take care of myself. But they have a narrow vision and definition of what that is. Yes, it is important to take care of ourselves physically, you know, keep our bodies in shape and do that. That's one aspect. If we're not taking care of our internal well-being, if we're not, as I said earlier, you know, working on what it means to access our emotions, what it means to, you know, explore and really look at what I want in my life and how am I going to develop myself, then we're not gonna feel good. We're gonna feel like there's something missing. We're gonna feel depleted. You know, we're not gonna feel the sense of vibrancy that's possible when we really get in touch with our internal self.
And Viv, take this from your perspective as a young woman who is thinking about being a mom someday, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? Or what are your questions?
So I really want to know how social media influences mothers in this day and age, because, you know, women always, you know, post on social media. And I always wonder if a mother doesn't feel like she's doing enough, and she sees, you know, another mother post something on social media that seems really nice. And,
mom,
you know,
shaming?
Yeah.
That's basically where I think the stress is all coming from.
Yeah,
don't you think,
I think,
doctor,
so.
That's where this anxiety and stress is coming from, because every day they have to do something online.
It absolutely does. I think you're both hitting it right on, because it contributes to it hugely. Like, if we don't have a strong sense of self to begin with, and then you start seeing this fictional idea that we already kind of felt like from our culture, we feel it around us, and then we see image after image of, oh, look how wonderful this is, or look here, here's a beautiful moment. We're not showing the mess of raising children. We're not showing how uncomfortable it is. We're not showing our more difficult, challenging moments. And then, of course, we're going to feel depleted and guilty, and we're going to feel like, oh, they're doing it right. And I think what you're saying was right, too. It's this funny form of shame, because by posting just the positive stuff, I'm shaming the other women into thinking this is how it's supposed to be.
A couple of texters here, 352, it's okay not to be okay. I'm sure you'd endorse that view, right?
It's absolutely okay not to be okay. I mean, on the one hand, we are all okay, and it's okay to make mistakes and have an authentic experience that's really real and real for you.
630, I was punished for feeling anything and ended up taking my anger out on myself. Also had too many, you should feel this and not feel that. You have to put up those walls to not let people tell you what to feel or how to feel. Is that how it works?
Well,
I don't mean walls in a negative way. I mean in a safeguarding way.
No, you're absolutely right, Steve, because as children, we do whatever we need to do to survive in our family, right? I mean, this is a how am I going to live and survive? So we come up with ways to deal with what's coming at us. So if we're being told, you know, don't feel, don't do this, don't do that, we're going to shut down because that's what we need to do. But as adults, we then have a choice to shift that, and we can shift those paradigms, and we can start making, we're not relying on our parents for survival anymore, although that got wired in us, and we think we do.
Sure.
But if we start exploring and experimenting and doing things differently, we see, oh, this actually feels really good, and I feel a lot better when I'm actually having my feelings.
How do we do better as spouses, as friends, as sons, brothers, uncles, whatever? How do we do better as men to allow women to be better moms?
I love that. So one of the things that you can do better is also kind of go on the journey of looking at all these paradigms and these myths that are restricting a woman's experience, and allow her and join her in the activity of knowing yourself. You know, go on the journey with her and acknowledge that, yeah, we're making mistakes and it can't be perfect, and we're in this together. If we really have a sense that we're all in it together, that makes a huge difference.
Is it okay to say you don't have to do everything, and when she says, well, I do or it won't get done, to say, you need to go do something for yourself, you're not going to make the bed, you're not going to do this, whatever the chore may be, and do it? Is it okay to draw the line to make you feel like you could go do something for yourself?
Absolutely. That affirmation's really important, that you being in good shape, you being healthy, you being in the best shape you can be is going to serve the whole family. And so you acknowledging that, and sometimes I think the spouse or the husband or the friend really needs to push the woman to do that, because she won't believe it and she won't think it. No, my job is to take care of everybody and everything, and even though I'm depleted and deprived, it's what I'm supposed to do. So that encouragement, that push, really important.
Well, and I can tell you that, as men, and Dave, I know you know guys like this as well, we'll avoid the fight. You know, so it's kind of a win-win for us, while it's being a lose-lose. Oh, you want to do it? You don't like the way I did it? You'll do it anyway, and now we don't have to argue, and that's not good.
No, it's not good. It really, and that enhances the relationship when we're willing to engage together and get messy together and mix it up and have these experiences together. We're both going to learn. We're going to learn about each other. We're going to learn what makes each other tick, and you know, when we can learn responsibly how to do that, it really gets us closer.
Yeah, I can tell you, my wife and I have been together a long time, and when we haven't been together, it's been my fault, frankly. But I think time helps, too. Dave, you've been married a long time. I think over the course of a long time, you get to places you didn't know you could exist at, and I think we're better than ever.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And
I mean, it's not just like about me shutting up.
Yeah, no. I don't
Can you imagine me shutting up, please? All right, again, how do women get involved?
So women can get involved by coming, first of all, to, since I have a workshop coming up, it's like the best. It's a condensed four-hour period of time where we're really going to explore the myths. We're going to share together. You're going to see a model of growth and development and a model of consciousness that helps you go inside.
This is a week from tomorrow.
It's a week from tomorrow. Private Women's Club.
10 to 2.
10 to 2 o'clock.
It's 97 lunch is, bucks.
Lunch is included.
Invest $100 in yourself and you're going to get lunch as well.
Exactly. And I can guarantee you'll come away with new insights, a plan for yourself that I really believe will make significant difference.
Last piece of advice, and this is just for me. You don't have to do it because as a woman, you can do whatever you want, but tell your husband. This thing's 8 hours. And then go out and have some fun with your girlfriends yourself.
I love it.
Don't think he hasn't bent that truth a couple of times with you. How come it took you 8 hours to go to Walgreens? Traffic.
Well, yeah, it happens. Yeah.
Nice to see you. Thanks for the work you do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And let's come back in a second with your headlines.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Just this morning, Steve was talking about some women in Lincoln Park and the random groping that was going on. And three men were reportedly robbed within minutes of Michigan Avenue on Monday night. Look, we know it's not easy to be a single female walking around the city of Chicago or any big city, no matter where you're listening in the country. But we want to take a couple of minutes talking about self-defense for women. And Torrente Tolliver is here. He's got a book called Everyday Self-Defense. By the way, along with Welcome, where do we get the book?
The book is actually on Amazon, so you can just go to Amazon.com, type in Everyday Self-Defense, and you'll see it.
You also go to MindBodyDefenseChicago.com. That's MindBodyDefenseChicago.com, and you teach in your own studio?
Yes, I have pretty much three classes. I have kickboxing classes, which is more for fitness. I have self-defense classes to protect yourself, and I even have just extra workshops for just several different things.
773-517-4992 is the number, and we'll put all this information up across social media and online as well. So I have a daughter. And I have a wife, and, you know, you worry about, and I have a daughter-in-law who's going to have a little baby grandson soon, and I have a 3.5-year-old granddaughter who's going to grow up in the world. This isn't just for women. Self-defense is important to everybody. But are women in more danger now, or is it just we hear more about bad things?
We definitely hear more bad things about women, and the problem is a lot of women have been misinformed with several things to help defend themselves. So when they're thinking of self-defense, when you typically think of self-defense, you're thinking about punches, kicks, some sort of thrusting strike. You have
techniques.
Instead of the entire idea of self-defense, which is, by definition, protecting yourself. If you can set up boundaries, learn how to assert yourself, be able to assess situations and know what's going on ahead of time, then you can avoid a lot of things. A lot of people call this unconscious competence, when you're already doing a lot of stuff to just avoid being attacked or being a target.
How do you avoid being an easy mark? I mean, is it you're walking with other people? I mean, you're going to have to be alone at some point.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The idea is, what makes you a target? Well, if right now, if you needed to make $200,
okay,
if you're looking outside of just this building, who would you rob? What are the characteristics of someone who would have money versus someone who doesn't? Do you fit those characteristics? So that's when people talk about, will you secure your items? Well, if you have your purse, your phone just out there, then you're advertising that you have these things available. And yes, some people carry bags, but some of those bags look expensive, and that's where people are trying to go for, versus some of the bags look less expensive and people don't. The idea is, if you are carrying things that could be of value, then when people are trying to get closer to you or trying to set up their attack, when you're able to know that, hey, I know that they're coming, you're looking around, just being a little bit of aware, when you let them know that I am not an easy target, that makes them say, okay, the risk went up. you're not my target. I'm going to look for someone who's distracted. I'm looking for someone who's tired. I'm looking for someone who's not paying attention.
So these thug attacks are rarely random.
No. So when we hear the idea of random, what we're saying is we don't know exactly how it started.
It doesn't mean that there wasn't a mark going on out there.
Yes. So the idea of if it was random for you because you didn't see it coming. So it came out of nowhere for you. But for the other person, they saw it coming a mile away. It was actually simple for them.
All right. So what you're talking about, what does it look like? Because let's say you're a woman, a single woman. You want to go out clubbing with your friends and you're meeting them downtown and you're on Rush Street. And you're walking from your car inside. We know that every street in a major city, no matter where you are, bad things can happen. You're dressed nicely for the evening. How do you do that in a smart way? You don't pull out your iPhone 10X and a handful of cash, obviously. But what do you do to dress down yourself as an easy target?
Well, I don't want you to take away your life. If you want to dress up, dress up. That's fine. But then if you're going to dress up, you just have to be aware. So when we're talking about awareness, we're going to really isolate specific skills. One is movement. How are people moving? Generally, people walk straight and they have like a little swivel to the left and right because we don't really walk straight well. It's a human thing.
It's interesting.
But when you see someone make a dramatic turn, like if they're turning at a 90-degree angle, turning at a 45-degree angle, that's a little suspicious when you see someone following your movements. When you're looking left and you recognize that someone's looking at you for an extended period of time, when you move, they move. When you stop, they stop. These types of movements are things that alert you.
They're suspicious.
Yes. And when you get that feeling, you have to address it. When you recognize that something is wrong, a lot of people are so quick to let it slide, so quick to just release it instead of really just if you feel like you're being followed, it is OK to turn around and say, excuse me, can I help you? Now, you're not yelling at the person. You're not threatening the person.
And by the way, you should never be embarrassed about the fact that you felt threatened and you want to make sure you know what's going on.
Yeah, it's the difference between people feeling like a jerk and actually being a jerk. It is okay to raise your voice. It is okay to make accusations. It is okay. But the thing is, a lot of people don't want to feel that way. It's that social social stereotype, that just a societal thing that's holding them back. And that's what predators are hopefully for.
Yeah, they're looking for that.
But what if there's nobody around you and you're by yourself and you feel somebody, like in a parking garage, for example? That's where I feel the most vulnerable all the time because they could be lurking behind something, you know, and I get out of my car, I walk as quickly as I can to the elevator, you know. It's just intimidating always in a parking garage to me.
And that makes perfect sense, and you should. It should feel that way because you really don't know where they could be. But that's where physical training comes into light. So if you're worried that something may happen, what is that thing? You could be grabbed. You could be hit. Someone can grab something on you. Once you have the physical training to know that, okay, they may hit me first, but after I get hit, I know what to do. They may grab me first, but after I get grabbed, I know what to do. You can move a lot better. And also sometimes with the awareness, you're learning to listen to certain things. If you're walking down the street and you're hearing a little bit of chatter, then you turn a corner and there's nothing, that could be a little alarm. It's like, okay, maybe I should walk instead of right next to the wall, maybe a little bit more towards the center where I have at least a time to hear that one or two steps before they get to you.
If you look fearful, does that make you a better mark?
Absolutely. The idea of timidity, when your hands are getting closer to your chest, when your chin starts to look down,
if you're looking around.
Yeah. So a very common thing, and this actually happens a lot in the dating world, where someone may touch your shoulder and someone may shrug to try to let that person know, I'm not comfortable. But they are hoping that the other person takes the hint instead of just removing the hand.
Right.
What about using tools such as mace or some sort of self-defense device?
Or a siren warning. Like,
yeah,
an app.
Something.
Do you believe in those?
I absolutely believe in it. I promote them, and I believe in it. The question is, you still need training. If it's not a magic bullet. You don't just get a tool and all of a sudden all your fears go away. The idea is the tools are used to help you. So if you're going to get some sort of pepper spray, you should go through training. If you're going to carry an alarm, like a sonic device, something that can ring loud,
sure.
You have to acknowledge the fact that that is only used to make the attacker feel that, okay, the risk has gone up. Someone can see this, so maybe I don't want to continue, or someone else can come in to help me. But that loud noise may not stop the actual physical attack. So the tools are there to help you and support you, and there are tools that you can use that can physically help
you. Well, you lay out a lot of this in Everyday Self-Offense, along with a great section. This is for men or women, but there's a great section in here about de-escalation. Would you say you learned as an English teacher in school?
Yes, I was a high school English teacher in Chicago Public Schools.
Yeah,
for
6 years. So I understand that. But Vivian, you go out with your friends, or you go out, as a young woman in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that, you know, is a concern that you're thinking of?
So let's say that I, have pepper spray, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work. What's my plan B? Then what happens? What can I do? Do I have to be prepared to, to do something else myself? Or what do you think?
If you're saying that if you've already used your pepper spray and this is still happening, so for whatever reason the pepper spray doesn't stop it,
and now it just aggravated this.
Yeah, yeah, but what I'm saying is the physical skills that you will learn when taking self-defense classes is going to be enough to keep you alive. It's going to be enough to keep you safe. You don't need to spend 10 years. You don't need to spend 15 years. You can learn a select amount of skills and get very good at it, and to the point where you can solve problems, even new problems. And once you have that confidence, when you fight long and hard enough, it changes the situation. It raises the risk. It changes you. You're not the same target that they thought they were. Most attackers, there's generally two types of predators: process predators and resource predators. Process predators want something from you, like they want your wallet, they want your phone. That's resource predators. They want something from you. Process predators, they want to feel something. That's where you get the sexual assaults and control. When you are making yourself no longer fitting that profile of something that they can control, it changes it. And all you have to do, you don't have to beat them. There's people that
you got to stay alive long enough for help to get there, or enough trouble for the dude to run away.
Yeah, or even just, there's a section in my book called Juggernauts. There are some people that I, as a 5'10", 240-pound person, am not going to defeat. I'm not going to beat them. But if I fight long and hard enough, then maybe they throw a punch and it misses and it hurts their own hand, and that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm able just to push them and they hurt their back into something. I just need to survive. And it's that mindset that gives you...
It's scary, but that's why this is so important to talk about. We got to take a break for news here, mention of the news here in just a second. But we're only going to have a couple of minutes when we come back. But I'd love for you to show... We'll make Vivian your attackee. You be the attacker. And just a couple of moves. Just something you should do initially if someone is inappropriate.
No problem.
All right, stand by. We'll do that in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, Toriante Tolliver is here, author of the book, Everyday Self-Defense. Get it on Amazon. Easy read. Not going to take a whole lot of your time. Could save your life. MindBodyDefenseChicago.com is the website, and 773-517-4992 to ask any questions, set up appointments, things like that. All right, so Toriante, if you would stand. Vivian, you stand as well. The mics are on. Kick those chairs out of the way. And
not literally, though.
No, not yet. So, two scenarios. One, she's walking with her back to you.
Okay.
So turn around, Viv. And you've now approached her. What would you move? Would you grab her by the shoulders, or what's a typical attack?
So there's two typical attacks if someone's going to grab you. One is they're going to grab around your arms, and that's till you don't have, you're not able to use your arms to defend yourself. Or two, they would grab you around your neck to off balance you.
Well, let's not grab her around the neck. Grab her around the arms, and then tell me what she should do.
What she should first do, as soon as someone grabs her around the arms, can you take a step back, please?
Oh, sure.
As soon as someone grabs her around the arms, what she needs to do is to lower her weight, so she's going to bend her knees. By bending her knees, it's harder for me to lift her up.
Takes you off the center of balance.
Yeah. The second thing is, and this is going to be interesting, she's going to throw her backside straight into me as her arms go straight forward. And what? Yes. And now, one more.
So is that the move?
Yes, that's exactly the move. It's almost as if you're diving.
So you're throwing your arms out as she falls, back into
not
me.
Not falling back.
You her, put your butt back.
Her butt literally shoots back at the same time.
It's like
so if I hold
okay,
and you squat, and you push your butt back, as you, yes, and that makes it a lot harder for me to hold.
Nice move, Beyonce. We're going to put this video up. All right, turn around. Turn around real quick. Real quick, face to face. Give me one thing that you should be aware of and one thing a woman could do.
Good. Same thing. Against an aggressive onslaught where someone's just charging at you, and if your hands are up, so as soon as your hands are up and someone just reaches in and grabs, put your forearm across the neck. So bring your forearm across the neck. Good. Secure it with your other wrist. So one hand is holding the other hand, and you're pushing their neck away. So you're pushing hard, but they're still holding on. Again, your butt goes back. So you start pushing your butt back and walk backwards. Keep walking. Oh. And it is amazing. It works against
all sizes. So you can break against no matter how strong somebody is.
Yeah, the main thing is that you're no longer being controlled by the other person.
All right, let me just ask you one quick old school question. What about just kicking them in the cojones?
That's absolutely great. Now, the problem with that is distance and also off balancing. So if someone does grab, and go for it, kick me.
Okay, you're tight enough where you're blocking and protecting yourself.
And if you're only, and the person who's going to be kicked in the groin, they know they're going to be kicked in the groin. It is the target. It is the one thing that they're looking for. You need to have more options.
This is why you need the training, kids. Everyday self-defense. Toriente Tolliver. Call him, 773-517-4992. MindBodyDefenseChicago.com. I hope we can come and do this again.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
And don't look at me the wrong way, because I'll come after you. You know
put your butt back.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Toriente. Appreciate it very much. And Vivian, thank you for being our victim.
You're welcome.
It's the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Steve next. The Facebook page is where you'll see the quick demonstration that Vivian just did with Toriente Tolliver. And Wendy, you were saying you got it right away, right?
Yeah, that was really great advice.
Yeah, that was cool. And I tried it on Bill, and let me tell you something. You do not want to mess with Bill.
Don't mess with me.
Although you guys looked like you were dancing.
We started out dancing, and then it became an attack.
We started arguing about who was going to lead.
Yep. That's how it always happens.
Crazy. How are you guys?
Fine, Steve.
Happy Friday.
Thank you.
We missed you yesterday.
Yeah, well, we were busy, as you know. We were out at Ruffled Feathers Golf Course with Jared Payton and his friends, but they raised some money, so that was good.
Sounded like you had a good time.
It was a good time. What are you guys doing today?
Another episode of WGN Epperty, this time for a fabulous prize.
All right, now I'm glad you brought this up, because when you did it before, this is only your second time?
No, we've done
Bill's
it,
been doing it
several
for years.
Times. Many times.
Okay, well, let's say I've only heard one.
Oh.
I couldn't tell if you were happy with the way it was going or not.
I have to be honest. The last time we did it, the contestants weren't quite what we were hoping for.
Ooh. Okay. Nice way of putting it. Glad you said it this time.
So you don't want stupid contestants, or you do? That's the part I'm wondering
about.
We
prefer more scholarly, learned contestants.
The fun thing, though, about Bill's games is if you're in the car or at work, you can play along, because their questions are fantastic.
I was buzzing in on my steering wheel like you wouldn't believe.
Well, then we owe you a prize.
Yes, you do.
Will James Holzhauer be a contestant today?
We got Jamie Holzhauer coming in. Ken Jennings is going to be a contestant. What we've done to combat this is I've drawn up sample questions that will be asked when people call up to be a contestant.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine will ask them sample questions, and they have to get those right.
Oh.
So
who were Speed Racer's friends?
Did you read that? You read the sample questions.
So there's a whole pre-screening thing going on.
Yeah. We have, legally.
Got to work for it, because it's a great prize.
It's a good prize.
By the way, Bill's other idea, I don't think he's told you, radio win, lose, or draw coming up, so that'll be good.
That's going to be big.
Yeah. hey, I'm going to come back Monday. Do you want to come, Dave? Want
to
be here Monday?
I'd love to. No, I won't be here Monday, but I'll be here Tuesday.
I'll see you Tuesday. Carmen in here Monday?
Mark Carmen.
Mark Carmen Miranda will be here Monday, too.